Bellini friends, welcome in. You're listening to Jawa Chatter, a Star Wars podcast. And today is Claudia and I.
Hi.
Nerdy is unfortunately out. He is going to Dragon Con. He is on his way there, as will I be soon. So if you're at Dragon Con, actually, because I know it's a huge con, please find us. Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter or something if you want to say hi. It's a big convention, but I know it's a big Star Wars presence, so that'd be a lot of fun. So today, though, the main topic we have for you today are two things. Claudia and I saw Rogue One in IMAX theaters, and we saw the exclusive footage for Andor. It was about a five-minute scene, and we will dive into that. Yep. But we will keep it spoiler-free. Do not worry. We will not mess that up for you. We will vaguely talk to you about it. Yes. And the other thing we wanted to talk today about is Rian Johnson. Yeah. He directed, you might have heard of him, he directed The Last Jedi, director of Knives Out, working on Knives Out 2 right now, a bunch of other movies as well, and apparently, so is in, not even a rumor mill, but Kathleen Kennedy says that he is still in the running to do a Star Wars trilogy, and he mentioned that as well, that he still really wants to do that, so we're going to touch on that a little bit. But before we get to that, let's talk about Rogue One, seeing it IMAX. It was only Claudia's second Star Wars film in IMAX.
Yeah, right? Because the only one I saw in theaters was The Rise of Skywalker. So, yeah, this was a,
it's a bit different experience.
A bit different experience for me and really fun. Jeffers had a better time than he did the first time he saw it because the guy next to him was going, every time he drank a beverage.
That's the reason the last podcast.
Yes. So, you know, I didn't do that to him the entire time. And also, we got to see clips of Andor and, you know, obviously Pedro Pascal and the director discussing it. So,
yeah,
it was exciting and a lot of fun. And it makes me really excited for September 21st.
Is there anything that stood out to you about seeing Rogue One again? Because I feel like I've seen it probably more than you have. And you kind of asked me that question off the podcast. And I didn't really have an answer for you because it really wasn't like, I didn't really forget about anything that happened. It once I was watching again, it was more just a really, really fun experience for me. I don't think there was too much that I carried from that experience to the show, but was there anything that hit you, even if it's just for fun?
I mean, I think it's just been watching the trailers for Andor and, you know, looking into, you know, Pedro Pascal or, you know, Diego. No, it's not Pedro Pascal. I meant Diego Luna, didn't I?
Yes.
I did. Oh, no. That is totally my bad, guys. That is a big goof. Diego Luna and, you know, him looking into Cassian Andor and how he navigates that gray space. I kind of forgot, like, how in the gray he is, you know, when he almost kills, you know, Jyn Erso's father at the top when he was about to snipe him, like, and he's lying to everybody and he's like disobeying direct orders and he just like always does what he's supposed to for the Republic in the sake of the Republic. And
you mean the Rebel Alliance?
Rebel Alliance. I'm just making
you
mistakes.
Good? Yeah, you good? We have been watching a lot of Clone Wars, so in her defense, we've been watching a lot of Clone Wars.
A lot.
Yeah. Diego Luna's character, Cassian Andor, is, when we see him in Rogue One, is going to be very different from what we see him in Andor. He is somebody who's been doing this for a long time. He has clearly done some questionable things in the name of a cause he truly believes in.
And he's not the only one either, because the entire like Rogue One squadron is made up of assassins and pretty much people have done terrible things.
Right. And that's what they say when they join Jyn Erso and her cause.
Yeah.
And what we're going to be seeing for the length of Andor is how does he get from somebody who wasn't a part of this cause, joined it, and does a lot of questionable things along the way, but the good and bad things he does for the rebellion.
Yep.
And how does it change him as a person as well? Because, you know, if you've watched the trailers of Andor, which I'm sure if you listen to this, you have, this is very early on for Andor, Cassian Andor. So his hate for the Empire is there and always has been.
Yep. And in Rogue One, he's like, you know, I've been in this fight. Like, he's like, you know, I've been involved in this since I was 6 years old. He mentions that yet again in Rogue One. Obviously, we see it in the trailers as well. And that is definitely like touched upon. And also in like the, you know, sneak peek footage when the director and Diego Luna are talking, it's like, you know, he has such an interesting backstory. So I think we are going to see, you know, the separatist parent storyline that we were originally told that was going to be there.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like that. I can't confirm that, but it definitely sounds the way they were going back and forth about it. Before we jump into that, though, I do want to mention one thing that you mentioned when we were watching the movie, which was you forgot how much you really like K2SO, the droid.
Oh my gosh, so funny. I just like, you know, there's a lot of iconic droids within the Star Wars universe, you know.
Yeah.
IG-11 and Mandalorian was a lot for me. You know, K2SO.
BD-1.
BD-1. Forgot, you know, how funny and dry and sarcastic K2SO is and how much humor he brings to Rogue One. And it's a pretty, like, somber movie overall, and he, like, kind of helps cut through that at times.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty somber movie throughout. I mean, like...
Yeah, you're right. No, it is a somber movie. He definitely adds a bit of humor in a... But like not like a lighthearted way. A very sarcastic way.
Very dark dry humor. Yeah, but it makes sense for the theme and also the movie in general. But like, yeah, they're in a lot of tough situations. And, you know, he's like, oh yeah, I waited the ship for you. And like the entire planet or the moon is being blown up. That Saw Gerrera's on. He's like, get in, you know? Like,
yeah. I do wonder when we're going to see K2 pop up in Andor, because I think it's inevitable. Yeah. You know,
they have a close relationship.
If Nerdy was here, I'm sure he would tell me when he pops up in the book Catalyst that leads up to Rogue One. However, I don't know when that is, right? But no matter when it is, I will be shocked if we do not see K2 in this show at some point. First season, don't think that's going to happen. Second season potentially, though, because second season is jumping between timelines so much that I know we'll eventually see him. So I love K2, by the way. He's one of my favorite droids. He could potentially even be my favorite. It's the hard choice to make, but he's very, very much up there. And yeah, I just relate to his dry humor and sarcasm as well. So that's so the scene that we saw, I'd say, is about 5 minutes long.
Yeah
So about 5 minutes long. And not going to give you too many details. Like Claudia kind of already mentioned, you know, Diego Luna and the director were going back and forth with the commentary before they showed, like, the scene. And it was very interesting. Honestly, everything they said together, which I'm not going to say really much about what they mentioned. But I think one of the things they emphasized was that this is a character journey focused show. And I know that sounds like, well, duh, right? But I think there's a lot of shows out there, and you know, I'm not going to nitpick at any shows, but superhero shows and stuff a lot lately too, that kind of maybe focus on the bigger world. And even at times Star Wars has done that. But I think this is really going to be very, very focused on the development of this character and the rebellion itself and the changes they go through. And one of the things I really liked about what the director has said as well, even outside of the scenes that we saw, was he mentioned that this is going to be like the most adult Star Wars we've seen. And I'm a big proponent of that Star Wars should be, you know, for kids as well and et cetera. But it's not going to upset me if there's a show that is going to be the most adult type of show. Yeah,
and I also think that, you know, Cassian Andor as a character that's skirting on the gray line, mm-hmm. it just in and of itself isn't really geared towards children quite as readily, right. Especially younger ones.
Well, because Revolution's not pretty, right?
No. And if it's really going to be grounded, you know, like Rogue One is, it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the formation of really, like, truly pushing back against a tier.
The first scene where we see Cassian Andor in Rogue One, he shoots a pilot that is unarmed, on his side
in the back.
Yeah, but it's not even a bad guy.
No, absolutely. Yeah,
because he's like, no, this could give up information. Like,
yeah. So I think things are gonna get very, very intense in this show. And so the 5 minute scene that we saw, it is very indicative of just how intense this show is gonna be. And I have to say, folks, that from the way it was shot, the dialogue between the two characters and everything in between, the audio, the visual, just literally everything about the... granted, it's only a five-minute scene, right? But that's what I have to go off of. It's incredible. That five-minute scene was perfection. And I can see why that was what they chose. Because if that is indicative of what this show is bringing to the table for 12 episodes, I will be glued to it. I think it's a show that weirdly, if it can get enough buzz, could be a show that kind of reminds me of Mandalorian, that like it could be for everybody. It doesn't even necessarily have to be for Star Wars fans. It could bring in new fans if it gets enough buzz. Now, I think that's going to be a challenge, but
I think it's
it could pull a Mandalorian.
Bring in, you know, people that love action, people that love beautifully choreographed fight sequences. Like, the 5 minutes was a fight sequence. That's what we saw. I'm not going to go into details, but it was choreographed beautifully. And right, I even mentioned to Jeffers when we were watching it, it reminded me of in Pirates of the Caribbean when Oliver Bloom.
No, yep. It's Oliver. Now.
Okay, it's late. Let me mess up names.
It's Oliver. I'm counting three so far.
Work. All right.
I'm counting three.
Orlando Bloom and Johnny Depp fighting in that room. It reminded me of that sequence a lot, and the choreograph that they do for the fight sequence, and they're going over objects, etc.
Yeah, I can see that.
It was so well executed, and I think it's going to be one of those iconic scenes that's going to go down in the next year that people are going to be talking about for a long time.
I would like to say, though, it wasn't just a fight scene, though, because there was a lot of dialogue leading up to this fight scene. I just don't want to paint this as a fight-only scene. I think it has two halves, and one half was the action, and the other half leading up to the action was a deep conversation that Cassian has with another character. And I think both of these parallel kind of like what we're going to be seeing. Like, this is going to be very interesting for people that enjoy action, but it's also going to be very interesting for people who enjoy a political revolution, a David versus Goliath type story, a coming of age David Goliath story, right? Because the rebellion's not even like David at this point. They're growing, but they're growing everywhere, and that's what's so interesting about it. So I think it really is going to have something for everybody, especially Star Wars fans, but even more so, but even for people that aren't, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think there's a lot to look forward to. They actually went from that sequence straight into the trailer, and just rewatching that again after seeing that little clip made me even more excited yet again.
Yeah, we're stoked. I really can't wait for September 21st. And yeah, so that was kind of our report for that. We didn't want to say much because we definitely don't want to spoil anything for anybody. So the thing we want to talk about real quick for the rest of this podcast, though, is Rian Johnson. Now, whether you like The Last Jedi or don't like The Last Jedi, that's not really the conversation we're having. It is the thing that's picked up back in the news today or yesterday when you're listening to this is that he still very much wants to do a trilogy, and he mentions it. He said it would break his heart if he didn't still do it. He says it's still on the table, and there's some dialogue from Kathleen Kennedy. Like, I even remember at Star Wars Celebration, we were there when this feed was live. She does kind of mention that. She says there's a bunch of people that have worked on Star Wars that they want to bring back and whatnot, but they're very busy. And if I remember correctly, she actually did mention Rian Johnson by name. And she mentioned, you know, he's very busy with Knives Out 2 with Netflix. He has a deal.
He has two movies for Knives Out, so it's one after another with Netflix.
So he's very busy. Like, he is locked in, and that is something he has to deliver on. But she mentioned, like, you know, in 3 to 5 years, like, that's the timetable. And so apparently his trilogy is on the shelf. And for some people, this won't really be news, right? Nerdy's probably fully aware of this, for example. But other people, I think, may have forgotten about it. So I kind of wanted to bring it back up since it, you know, kind of came back into the public eye today and kind of remind people that this could still very much be a thing. That said, anything can happen in the entertainment industry, in movies. It could end up not being a thing because he gets signed on for something else or whatever, or they just don't get around to doing it, or Taika Waititi takes Star Wars and runs away with it and shows us Chewbacca's grandma for the next 6 movies. You know, whatever happens, happens. But as of now, it's on the table.
Yeah. And Ray, I think that, you know, we've talked about this on previous podcasts too, where we've heard a lot about what's coming for shows and, you know, what's coming next. You know, we've heard about the Skeleton Crew. We've heard about Mandalorian Season 3. We've heard of Bad Batch. We've heard about Tales of a Jedi.
All shows.
They're all shows.
Except for one.
Except for one, and we don't know anything about what it is yet.
Oh, just that do. It's not. It's Rogue Squadron. It's going to be about...
But I thought it got delayed another...
It got delayed till, yes, next year, of course. But we know what it's a... We know what it is, at least. We don't know a lot of details.
And then we know we've had an announced story, but we haven't announced a trilogy other than... Now this. So it does mean that there is more roadmaps for movies, and that was my point.
Yeah, but I think honestly, with the way things are going, Taika Waititi will have made at least one Star Wars movie before Rian Johnson even touches a trilogy. So, but the real quick question I would have for you, Claudia, because I think you and I feel fairly similar about The Last Jedi, and I know Nerdy likes it more than us, so he would... I don't want to speak for him, but I'm pretty confident he would be down for a Rian Johnson Star Wars trilogy. But how do you feel about that as, you know, maybe somebody who didn't love that movie?
So for me, I think the issue I had with Last Jedi is, you know, it was a different director's vision and, you know, the seventh movie versus...
Continuity, essentially.
Yeah, the continuity is what it came down to. Stylistically, I think Rian Johnson's a phenomenal director. And I know we talked about this with... Nerdy, and he talked about, like, you know, the usage of light and, you know, camera angles and everything else, and it does give a modern perspective to Star Wars that the same thing Rogue One has done, and I think Andor is going to do as well. You can see that in the shots that they're doing, and it helps bring in audiences a lot of times, especially ones that aren't as, you know, ingrained in the Star Wars universe. So I think that he can do a lot for the series. I'm just interested in what story he's going to tell, whether that's, you know, going to be Acolyte era or what, and where he'll kind of fall into the Star Wars universe. There's a lot of stories to be told.
Probably not Acolyte because they're basing a show.
Yeah, their show and a movie.
Yeah, but yeah, I imagine we have no idea what he would get because it's so far out that he would even pick something up. That's not really what I'm interested in. Just more if you are down for it. Sounds like you kind of are.
Yeah. I love Knives Out, and I've loved some of his other work as well. I mean,
yeah, no. For those that don't know, I didn't love The Last Jedi. I go back and forth with this. I do think that bringing a fresh perspective to Star Wars, especially mainly the movies, would be great. And so I don't really have a problem with him taking on a trilogy. You know, I do think it's interesting that this topic is really more polarizing to hardcore Star Wars fans, just a portion of the fan base, than it is for the rest of them, and then even less so, I think, probably for the rest of the world. But I do think it's fascinating, and I'm not trying to poke the bear of anybody, but so many cinematic... How do I put this? Like, there's professors, but there's also, I know, a U.S., like, a certified something about movies where they... classified The Last Jedi as a mediocre movie. And that's not unheard of. I've heard that through different things, but it also had some really great stuff in it. And at the end of the day, I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is it's fascinating to me for films, because they're viewed as art, right? That one person's perspective can be so wildly different from another's. But for some reason, something about this movie, I feel like you ask one person to the next and to the next, I feel like it has the biggest gap in terms of, like, people's perspectives or opinions about it.
It's very divisive.
It is very divisive, even if you're not, like, super passionate about it, even if you just look at it from a movie cinema perspective. And that I find that fascinating for some reason, because I just can't think of another movie where there's such a, like, you know, you're always going to find a movie, right, that some, like, you would think everyone would love it, but you'll find somebody that doesn't like it. That's just how our brains work. But for some reason, this one is just, like, extra divisive, whether you're Star Wars fans or not, polarizing, whatever the word is. And I find that interesting. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because, honestly, the fact that he has that many people talking, even if I didn't really like The Last Jedi that much in comparison to some of the other Star Wars films, you know, he got people talking, and he tried something different. He gave it a go. And I would be interested to see what he would do if he had a full trilogy instead of the second movie, you know, in a trilogy. And I think that would go better. So weirdly enough, I think I'm more in the camp of, yeah, let's give it a go. And I'm excited to see, you know, like, Taika Waititi also do something. And do I think all these are going to land? Probably not, if I'm being honest. Like, I hope so. I really hope so. I hope they end up being amazing and everyone loves them. But At this point, I think I'm just ready, especially in the movies for Star Wars, to try something different.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just like everybody said, you know, kind of veering away from the Skywalker thing. Like there's gotta be some more in the universe and exploring that. I think that's what people really loved about Mandalorian. I think that's what people really love, are going to probably love about Andor.
Right.
And like kind of differentiating from just the Jedi, you know, Obi-Wan, that, not that I don't love that part of the universe. It's just, you don't want to tell the same story every single time. We want to know more.
But it's interesting, right? Because we call it a galaxy from far, far away, but we've stuck to the Skywalker saga for so long. And I, too, want something outside of that saga. But now that I see Rings of Power coming up, for example, and I'm just using this for comparison's sake, you know, no one yell at me. What's interesting is I'm kind of more now understanding why it's taking so long to veer away,
to deviate.
And you know, people in chat or people in the comments, whatever, I know people are going to bring up certain Star Wars projects that are pretty deviated far from the Skywalker saga, right? There are Knights of the Old Republic, for example. Like, I love that game. It's set like 1,000 years or something before anything that happened in Skywalker saga or whatever. And like, there are some small examples, but I'm talking strictly movie wise. Nothing has veered away from the Skywalker saga. And part of the reason I feel, now that I'm realizing that, part of the reason I think that is because basically this is still kind of all George Lucas's source material.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't have something written down or whatever, it's still living within that section of the world that he drew up. And we have not gone away from that yet. And to go out into the deep end of the pool where there's nothing, right? We don't even go to a planet that's within the Skywalker saga. That's a tall order. It's starting to hit me with Rings of Power, because we've never gone away from like a Tolkien, you know, we've never done a Tolkien movie without a full book that they are shooting from. Like that source material, it's not there. Same thing I feel like with Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, we may end up staying closer to home where they, you know, go through Sidious's backstory, you know, talking about his master, like in the shadows, doing that. I don't know. That.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of things they could do. But, you know, I think Taika Waititi did mention it
fairly
well.
He wants to deviate really well.
He said it's called The Galaxy Far, Far Away. So he's like, I want to get far away, basically, from, you know, what everything's been done, you know? So, and he's like, I'm not going to make a movie about Chewbacca's grandma. I was like, but could you though? I think I will be interested to just see what that first movie looks like. I really will. And I think it's going to be, I don't know. It's a very tall order, and I get it at this point. I really do. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Anything else for you?
No, I don't want to botch any more names today, since that seems to be my problem. Oliver Bloom. I'm gonna cringe about that for the next week.
Oliver Bloom's the one you're most cringing about?
Well, Pedro Pascal wasn't great either. Both were pretty bad.
I think it's funny you actually cringe at Pedro Pascal, because if we had done this like episode 5, even 6, 10 of Jawa Chatter, I feel like you would have been like, I'm the newbie, and now you're kind of like holding yourself to a standard.
I've watched 3 seasons of Clone Wars.
I'm a veteran.
Getting through season 1 and part of 2 makes me a veteran. Should get like a little stamp of honor.
It's gotten very good after that, though, hasn't it?
I said first and second. And I also had to watch the Clone Wars movie.
Okay, we're not here to bash on Star Wars. Anyways, friends. Thank you so much for listening or watching. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. It really helps. If you're listening on a podcast platform, any and all reviews and shares to other people you know that might want to listen to it also really helps. And,
yeah, I promise not to botch as many names next time.
We don't make promises we can't keep. We don't. I mean, next time we promise Nerdy will be here to maybe correct her, or maybe not. I think
he's gone.
He's traveling.
No.
We
can't promise that either. We're just full of empty promises. We have no promises.
Yeah. I kind of hope Nerdy's not listening to this right now. Anyways, all right, friends, thank you so much. We will catch you next week. We will go over, I'll actually bring you all and any Star Wars news I get from Dragon Con, you know, just experiences or fun or any news I hear, anything at all. And we also have a couple things coming up, the Disney show about, they're doing like their video games that involve Marvel, but there's also some Star Wars news, so we're gonna bring you that too. That's coming up pretty soon, the next couple of weeks. So yeah, plenty.
And we might get another Andor trailer before the 21st.
There's gotta be an Andor trailer, one more.
There's gotta be between, because we've got House of Dragon out, Games of Power comes out this weekend. We gotta get another hype up.
Yeah, I think they're gonna wait till after that.
The week one of
Games and then Power. I'm sitting here crossing my fingers that they're going to change the release date of Bad Batch season 2, because it starts a week after Andor, and that is stressing me the hell out. So I really hope they change that, and I hope so.
I don't want to do all this video editing.
No, it's more just I love Bad Batch, and I'm so excited for Andor that I don't want to see Bad Batch get squashed into the dirt. I know it's animation, and so that they're not as high priority, but it's still going to get buried if it is a week after Andor.
I think they may have learned their lesson, you know, with Captain Marvel. So
all I know is, Claudia, we got a month, less than a month till it's supposed to debut. Is Bad Batch season 2? No, that and they haven't said anything. Yeah. And I'm just wondering for here, like, guys. So, anyways, we'll let you know. Thank you so much, Utini friends, and may the force be with you.
Bye.
Bye.